Welcome to the Big Z Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hartzler's Quality Housing and DAC Vitamins and Minerals.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He's Chris Kale. Eric McElroy in front of the camera there. And we're going to do our weekly podcast presented by DAC Vitamins and Minerals. FeedDAC.com, and of course, Hartzler's Quality Housing in Dover, Hartzler's.com. Guys, it's a beautiful, sunny Wednesday, late morning, and it's going to be another beautiful day today in the Valley. But we have a lot of high school softball tournament action, baseball tournament action, and even some track and field results, of course. NBA draft lotto, lottery,
ping pong.
Yep, that's all going to be talked about today. The Cavs got screwed. I'll just say it bluntly, but hey.
The Suns got screwed-er.
Yeah, yes, they did.
But all this talk about saying, oh, it's rigged. Come on.
It is rigged.
Get out of here with it.
Come on.
It was rigged twice in the history of it. 1985 with Patrick Ewing and the Knicks. 2003 with the Cavs and LeBron.
Come on.
But anyway, we're going to talk high school first.
I hate this conspiracy theory stuff.
High school stuff?
No, I said conspiracy theory stuff. I hate it.
I do too.
But
you keep bringing it up.
It's no conspiracy that you do have high school.
It is no conspiracy. It is the truth.
Words are tough.
It is. So moving into high school. Yes, moving into baseball action.
Tuesday. I seen what you did.
Yesterday, Division One, Canton District, Louisville Regional, number 6 Dover. They belted number 11 Canton McKinley 9-1. The Tornadoes now 22-3. They put up 4 runs in the first, 4 more in the third. Freshman pitcher Aiden Hall allowed only 1 run on 4 hits and 2 walks. That 1 run came in the top of the first as McKinley had the lead early.
When you get that 8-run lead as a pitcher, you can just go out there and throw your stuff. You know, it gives you a lot of confidence.
Absolutely, and especially being a freshman, they needed that.
Yeah.
Aiden had 6 Ks on the day, too. Owen Poland, he had a 2-run double. Owen Poland's been a monster for the Tornadoes this year on the diamond. Dover, they take on number 3, North Canton Hoover at Hoover tomorrow at 5:00 for the district title. Number 12, New Philadelphia, they fell to number 5, Austintown Fitch, 11-4. Fitch, they move on to play number 4, Lake.
Up and down year for the Quakers on the diamond. Never really kind of found their way, their footing this year.
No, they didn't.
Little tough spring for them, so to speak. But you know what? School's almost over. They can rebound and get ready for football season in the fall because there's a lot of talent coming back to that Quakers football team. Mm-hmm. But baseball, like you said, just couldn't get their footing under them this year. And not too successful season. But hey, you know what? You run into Division I opponents, and that's what happens.
Well, since we're on the topic of the Quakers, didn't some athletic director head football coach have a birthday or something yesterday?
He did. Yeah, Matt Dennison, nice. Happy late birthday from Big Z Sports yesterday, obviously.
I think he got a little gift card or a card or so from WTUZ, from Z Country, if you will.
Absolutely. So your favorite AD has celebrated a birthday. I won't say how old he was, but he's just a few years older
39,
than me.
39, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
He is absolutely one of my favorite ADs.
He is, absolutely. Great guy.
Absolutely, 100%.
Does so much for us in the program. You know,
I would say him, Gary Spinell, Bill Love.
Sure.
I mean, those guys have just been
amazing.
Incredible to us. You know what I mean? So they've been the staples kind of in the thing. And
sure.
And with Bill Love moving on to Canaan Valley, we moved that connection out there. But those guys have, you know, those are just a couple of guys. All of our area ADs have done a great job for us in allowing us accessibility when it comes to football, softball, baseball, basketball.
You know, even you mentioned a couple, but Chip Amicone out of Garraway, Matt Colvin at Ridgewood, Garth Evans at Sandy Valley. Those guys all do so much for our program and our show, but we appreciate all of them. Appreciate the year that we've had with all of our ADs and coaches, and best of luck to Bill Love as he does transition to Canaan Valley after this school year. But we'll still be in touch with Bill, don't worry.
Oh, absolutely we will. All right, so moving into Division II baseball, again from yesterday, East 1 District, Athens Regional, number 2 Indian Valley. They blanked number 11 Zanesville 3-0. Cade Williams threw a 2-hit shutout, striking out 8. He also had an RBI double in the third inning. Rayland, I believe it's Scirani. I think that's what it is. I apologize.
You scribbled it.
I did, but it was still going to be tough for me, whether I scribbled it or not.
What's his first name?
And Cole Lancaster had sacrifice flies. Ryland.
Just call him Scribbles because that's what it looks like on your on your paper.
But they both had sac flies for the Braves. The Braves, they play number 7 Riverview on Monday at Cambridge at 5 o'clock. East 2 District Athens Regional, number 1 West Holmes, they drilled number 16 Morgan 10-2. Kendrick Wagler went 5 strong on the hill, and Luke Vess racked up, I think it's 3 hits, 3 RBIs. Yes, it is 3. It is 3. No, get here.
It's DJ Scribbles over
it
there.
It is 3 hits and 3 RBIs. That's why I was kind of stammering around. Sugar Shane Jones had a double as well. Number 1 West Holmes, they take on number 4 Meadowbrook Monday at Riverview at 5 o'clock. Division 3 East District Chillicothe Mount Vernon Regional, number 3 Ridgewood beat number 4 Garraway 6-2 for their 13th sectional title. The Pirates won both regular season games, though. Ridgewood goes on to play number 1 Barnesville Monday at Muskingum University at 5 o'clock. Number 10 Martins Ferry, they downed number 16 Tusky Valley 13-9. Actually, it was number 6 Tusky Valley. Tusky Valley had 5 runs in the bottom of the 6th, but Ferry came back with 5 of their own to take back the lead that they would never relinquish. Ethan Love for Tusky Valley led the way with 3 hits and 4 RBIs. Noah Love had 4 hits and an RBI as the Trojan season comes to an end. Division 4, East District, Lancaster Regional. Number 1, Highland, they bounced number 13, Malvern, 11-1. Ryan Hirschberger scattered 2 hits and had 3 singles at the plate. Highland improves to 21-2. Casey, is it Kalman or Kalman?
How's it spelled?
K-A-L-M-A-N.
I don't know. Kalman, I would say.
Kalman, Kalman.
I would say
one or the other.
Can you use Kalman. It in a sentence?
Country, well, I was hoping
of,
maybe
country
the,
of origin, please.
I was hoping, yes. I was hoping that our Highland guru would know what it was, but.
I don't know him. It's usually okay. Hirschberger or Troyer out there. I'm
right.
Used to a Kalman.
Miller.
Yeah, Miller.
Yoder. And speaking of Miller, Andy Miller, he had 2 singles
hey,
also.
He's a pretty good basketball player.
Yes. Yeah. Highland, they take on number 2 Toronto Monday at Minerva.
Man,
at
they
5
gotta
o'clock.
Go to Toronto? Dang. It's a long way.
Yeah.
Get your passports.
Right. Number 4, Strasburg. They shut out number 6, Caldwell, 1-0 in 8 innings.
Wow.
Listen to this, guys. The Tigers scored on a wild throw to first base
Oops.
In the bottom of the 8th.
Hey. Tough way to go out.
Yep. Do you think so?
Yeah.
So basically what happened was Wade Hostetler hit the ball to the shortstop. The shortstop made a wild throw over to first base, allowing Mike Needenthal to score from third.
Stop you in when we're
or was
nonsense.
It Mitch? Was it Mike or Mitch?
It was Mike.
You sure?
Yeah. Okay. Mike and Mitch both had 2 singles apiece. Sophomore Scotty Sauerheimer struck out 13 and walked 1 on the mound.
Wow.
The Tigers now 17-10. Strasburg plays number 5, Steubenville Catholic Central, Monday at Claymont at 5 o'clock. But tough way to end. Man, you're playing your butt off, zeros on the board, and give up and just have a mistake.
An error, basically.
You wonder if fatigue kind of played a factor a little bit.
Man, it's only 8 innings.
I know, but hey, you know, been playing all season. You know, it's been a long day. You had a day of school. You get out there and you think routine play and you try to
Maybe
rush it.
Maybe it was just pressure.
Hey, that too. But you know what? Good for the Tigers. They win. And we may have some other news about that Strasburg school coming up here later on this afternoon. Just be on the lookout for that. Be later this evening.
A Big Z Sports exclusive.
Yeah, so we'll have an exclusive coming up sometime this evening. We'll tell you what it's about, but probably about Strasburg and something else going on over there, but probably this evening we'll post up an interview, so be looking for that, Big Z Sports.
Moving on to softball, a lot of games were rained out over the kind of on Monday, so games moved to today, so kind of, you know, a little scattered on the softball front. So Division II, East 2 Pickerington Regional, number 6 Philo, they shut out number 2 Indian Valley 5-0. What a great season the Braves had. Really kind of surprised they got shut out in the tournament.
Yeah, ended a little earlier than I think they expected and most others expected, too.
Yeah, definitely. Katie Pride drilled a 3-run home run to center in a 4-run 5th inning to blow the gates open. Philo 21-6, though. Indian Valley ends its season at 17-6. Michaela Stansberry had a double and a single. Cassidy Cross doubled for the Lady Braves. Claymont, they take on Riverview tonight at 5 o'clock at Cambridge High School. That is the East 1 Pickerington Regional. That game, again, was supposed to be Monday, but it was moved to today. So Division 3, East 1 Lancaster Regional, number 1 Sandy Valley. They take on Edison tonight at 5 o'clock at Connaughton Valley High School. Newcomerstown They play Martins Ferry at 5 o'clock at Harrison Central. That's the East 2 Pickerington Regional. And then one of the games that got played in that East 2 district was number 3, Garraway. They beat number 5, Tusky Valley, 13-7. The Lady Pirates now 16-10. They play the winner of Newcomerstown and Martins Ferry on Thursday or Friday. Probably going to be Friday. Tusky Valley ends its season at 14-11. Zoe Johnson with a 3-run home run, her 14th of the season for the Pirates.
I believe she leads the IVC in home runs and RBIs this year for the Pirates. Good ball player. Not sure they're going to get that game in on Friday. A lot of rain coming Friday, so hopefully they can squeeze it in tomorrow.
They might squeeze it in tomorrow.
Yeah, but because there's a lot of rain coming on Friday.
That definitely gives Garraway the advantage, though. I think that's why they wanted to do that, was allow Newcomerstown or Martins Ferry to have that day off in between. But back-to-backs, hey, you're used to it. It happens, especially happens during tournament season. So, but how about Newcomerstown getting through all the way to District 7?
Yeah, you got to feel good for the
absolutely.
Trojans.
They did not have a great season. The boys baseball team didn't. I mean, I don't think they won a game. And, the girls had a rough season, but you know what?
They had a couple big upsets late in the season. I know they knocked off Indian Valley late, which was a big win for them. Yep. I think that gave them a lot of momentum getting into the tournament. And now look where they're at, one game away from playing an IVC opponent.
And really, no matter what sport it is, we say it all the time, you get hot at the right time, whether it's football in the playoffs, basketball when it comes to tourney time. So
you just never know. All right, so moving on to Division 4 on Monday, East District Pickerington Regional. How about Sophia Knight, guys? She scattered 3 singles and struck out 11 to throw her 5th consecutive shutout as number 2 TCC blanked number 3 Toronto 2-0 in the district semis at Carrollton. The Lady Saints now 20-5. Maddie Kopp, Annette Weston, and Reagan Triplett all had triples.
How about that?
So Sophia Knight, we've been talking about her quite often, on podcasts and back when we were doing the Friday night show. Five straight shutouts. And she's been really, really good this year. So
yeah, let alone one or two in a row. But when you stretch that to 4-5,
yeah,
that's something.
Yeah, and TCC, they're going to take on either number 1 Strasburg or number 6 Shadyside they'll play either Thursday or Friday for the district title. Strasburg and Shadyside play tonight at 5 o'clock at Buckeye Trail in the semis. So moving on, that's football. Moving on to track and field, Division 3. Newcomerstown brothers Hunter and Dylan Gerritsen won the district title and the runner-up spot in the pole vault. Ridgewood's Madison Colvin won the district title in the high jump. In Conotton Valley, Sid Lyon was 4th. Yes, my writing is terrible.
Both. We could go with both.
Right. Newcomerstown's Caitlin Green. Newcomerstown's Caitlin Green was 2nd in the pole vault. Teammate.
Jeez. Are you kidding?
Teammate Kim Haley was 3rd, and Ridgewood's Lexi Zimmer was 4th.
Sure, one Ken or Katie or.
Highlands, I believe it's Declan Howe, finished 2nd in the long jump.
While
Garraway's Lonnie Weaver finished 3rd, and Malvern's Adam Mosier 4th. Newcomerstown's Jade Johnson 3rd in the shot put. Garraway's Michaela Stitzler was 4th. Garraway boys won the 3,200 relay. Strasburg was 4th. The Strasburg girls 3,200 meter relay team finished 3rd. Garraway was 4th. The running semis were ran, and the finals will conclude on Friday at St. Clairsville.
In the rain.
The top 4 of each of those events move on to regionals next week at Perry High School. So congratulations to all of our especially senior softball and baseball athletes who are bowing out. Congratulations on great careers. Hopefully they'll move on to be very much productive members of society as they move on from high school. And congratulations to all of our track athletes as well for advancing on, and teams for advancing on, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. And again, with softball, baseball now getting into sectionals and districts and getting close to state, of course, at the end of the month, I believe the softball state championships, they'll be at Akron Firestone June 7th and 8th, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's early June.
Yeah, baseball state championships in Akron this year at Canal Park. So it was kind of cool. They moved from Columbus. There was a conflict with the Clippers and the state championship game. So they moved them to Akron this year. So maybe something we may go take in if we get a local team up that far.
Absolutely.
Might be something to see.
Maybe Sean will let us do a broadcast.
I won't hold my breath on that. But hey, anyway.
Hey, I'm just saying we tried that earlier
high
in
hopes,
the year.
High hopes.
Yeah. Let's move on now.
We get money on it.
To the NBA. I know all three of us, don't lie to us, Kale, all three of us were glued to our couch last night around 8:30 to see kind of what happens with the NBA draft lottery, the Zion Williamson sweepstakes, and that looks like the New Orleans Pelicans, of all teams, win that lottery and get the first overall pick. I was surprised by the outcome. I think the biggest surprise to me was how high the Lakers are picking.
That and where the Phoenix Suns fell to, because a lot of folks thought they could potentially get the number one. Didn't they say they were for sure getting 1 through 3?
Like it's a percentage.
Yeah, right? I get that, but they had the highest percentage of getting
that's
1 through 3.
That's the thing, when you play the lottery,
sometimes
you have a ticket.
Maybe it was bad karma sending DeAndre Ayton, because he's in some hot water right now from his old school, and karma comes back to get you once in a while.
And then is it good karma then for the Pelicans, because we know Anthony Davis wants out, and then here they go. It was weird seeing former Cavs GM David Griffin up there.
Was. How bad did that burn Dan Gilbert, you think, seeing Griffin there, and then all of a sudden they land in?
I agree. That's Dan Gilbert.
But the top three picks, you have the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, the Knicks, the Lakers, and then the Cavs at number 5.
Aye, aye, aye.
Your thoughts, I'll go to you first, Eric. Your thoughts, of course. What do the Cavs do? What happens with the Lakers pick? Connect it with LeBron a little bit. Can that help the Lakers? Will that help them get AD in the end? Your thoughts, Eric McElroy?
Well, you wanted top three, obviously, if you were the Cavs.
Sure.
Thought our luck was going to continue and, getting that number one pick in the draft lottery. I think you just have to sit right there. I don't think there's a trade. I mean, there's scenarios out there that could happen, but we don't necessarily think they will happen. The Knicks, if you want to move up to 3, what would you have to give up? Obviously, you swap 5 and 3, you give them 26, which the Cavs have. That's Houston's pick. Maybe Kevin Love, I don't know. But the Cavs will probably just sit and wait, see what happens. Next year's draft is a little deeper than this year's draft. It's really a couple guys this year, and that's it.
Yeah, it's the top four.
Yeah.
It's really, really the top four. With Cam Reddish, he'll probably go 4. Ja Morant will probably go 3, and then you've got RJ and Zion, flip a coin. So I'll be honest with you. Did I see who picked what? Yes, I saw who, how the lottery came down. I was actually sitting on my couch watching Field of Dreams with my daughter. I watched very, very little of the NBA lottery yesterday. Could care less.
You know, the Celtics, or what are they picking?
Yeah, they got
14?
3.
Yeah, right.
We got 3 picks in the first round.
Three in the first.
How
do you guys
round?
Always have multiple first round picks?
Because Danny Ainge.
It's from a trade from 2006.
Danny Ainge has done a very good job of doing what he needed to do. No, it wasn't 2006. That
what
was
it
the whole.
Like.
That was the whole Garnett Pierce deal.
Like 2006
from the Brooklyn deal.
Oh, that
wasn't 2006.
Well, 2008.
But no. But
anyway,
no, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just not. I don't know. I'm kind of over basketball season. I'm over all the stupid drama.
Oh,
and else
coming from a Celtics team.
Yeah,
with
I mean,
Kyrie
that's what I mean. I'm over
get
the
used
whole
to it, man.
Drama thing, man.
Get used
it's
to
just,
it.
That's what happens.
God, that's the NBA, man. Nowadays.
I know, but I'm at this point. I hope Kyrie just goes. You know what I mean? Just go. Take your 6 for 8, 28 shooting and go.
All right. So real quick, one Pelicans.
I think Zion goes to New Orleans.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd be dumb not to.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's saying he's the next superstar.
I think this may keep AD, man. I'm telling you.
That's the next question.
I don't know. I mean,
so many scenarios out there.
You get to play with him. They instantly become a front runner.
Yeah, well, there's scenarios
in the West,
galore,
though, man. I mean,
you've
got to have more than those two to compete in the West. You know, you got probably the best big man in the game in Anthony Davis, and you're getting an unproven, very talented Zion Williamson in the NBA. He's proven in college, but can he play with the big boys in the NBA? He's kind of a man without a position, too, because he's a little undersized to play power forward. He's not quick enough probably to play small forward, so what's going to happen with Zion Williamson is going to have to be the perfect fit for him somewhere, and maybe the Pelicans Pelicans say, hey, you know what? We've got Julius Randle to play power forward. Not sure he can play small forward for us. Let's go to RJ Barrett, and then the Memphis Grizzlies slide in there and take Williamson. Maybe that'd be a fit for them. I don't know. But, you know, it's also something I was thinking about. I was texting you guys back and forth last night, and Chris got mad about it. But it's hypothetically, it could happen, is where the Lakers say, oh, wow, I got the fourth pick. Let's package that with a couple of our young stars that we had in the trade already, and then try to get AD from the Pelicans, and that would give the Pelicans 1 and 4, and, you know, build that way. But I don't know.
There's going to have to be a partner out there to make a trade,
sure,
make a deal. There's so much still to happen because there's going to be free agents like Durant and Kawhi Leonard, guys like
Kyrie.
That. Yeah, Kyrie, where are these guys going to go? But
Clay Thompson.
Yeah, so many scenarios in which, and it's probably better than the regular season and the playoffs at this point.
Yeah,
figuring out where these guys and where these superstars are going to join up. So I mean,
it's interesting to see. I was looking. The Lakers have in excess of $35 to $40 million of cap space this offseason. So if they would do a sign and trade with, say, the Pelicans, and then all of a sudden turn around and sign a Kawhi or sign a Kyrie, that would give them a big three, and they'd be under the cap. And then they could still go over the cap because they would have all that sign and trade money to make that happen. So is that something LeBron does? Is that something that the front office says, hey, you know what? Let's get these superstars while we can, you know, an obscene.
But I don't think L.A. is – I've watched a lot of stuff on ESPN lately, and pretty much all the experts are saying, with all this stuff that's going on, this turmoil with the Lakers, with, you know, the coaching changes and being unsure who they're going to bring in and everything else, and then Magic leaving, Genie Buss's whole deal – that LA's not necessarily the landing spot that everybody thought it was 6 months ago.
But I think it is if they can somehow either, you know, hey, this fourth pick in the draft could be somebody to help build around this team, or if they do land an Anthony Davis and say, okay, now we're a landing spot. We got LeBron, we got AD, come play with us.
LeBron's still attractive. LeBron, and they get another all-star, and then it makes it more attractive.
Sure.
It opens up Kawhi's eyes, and it'll open up Kyrie's eyes.
But here's my thing, right? The reason why I got upset is we can conspiracy theory this all day.
Sure.
What if AD, who has been rumored to the Celtics, says, hey, I'll come to Boston if Kyrie resigns. Kyrie resigns, they get rid of Terry Rozier and maybe somebody else.
Gordon Hayward,
They probably wouldn't get rid of Hayward because he's got too much money on his contract. I don't think he's going anywhere. But you can get rid of a Terry Rozier or somebody like that, bring in an AD, and now all of a sudden, what was Boston lacking? They were getting killed in the paint by Giannis. Absolutely destroyed in the paint by Giannis. Now you bring in that rim protector.
You and 29 other teams.
Well, right. But then all of a sudden you bring in and you go, oh, now Boston's a contender. Who wants to go play with Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, and AD? I mean, you can what if this all day. I don't think that there's any scenario where Kawhi, AD, and Kyrie go to L.A. No way, it's not happening.
I'm not saying
I'll put
all
a paycheck
three of them.
On it now.
I think two of the three could.
What about the Clippers then? I mean, there's a couple different L.A. teams.
Would you rather play with Doc Rivers or the new LeBron?
Doc or LeBron.
Well, right. Who is the coach of the Lakers?
Frank has Frank.
Yeah, Frank Vogel, isn't he?
Frank Vogel, yeah.
Did they sign Frank Vogel?
A three-year deal with Jason Kidd as his assistant.
Yeah.
And who wants to go to that?
Real quick, did you guys like the new? Like the new weighted lottery where basically the first three teams got a fair shake?
No.
Cavs, Knicks, Suns—they all got a 14% chance of winning the lottery. The first time that it was this new feature.
I want to see a ping pong ball.
You know what?
They still have the ping pong balls, but they gave each team. Three worst teams, the same percentage.
You know what I think they should do? The lottery should be a true lottery. You put 14 or 13 ping pong balls in a lotto machine, and you do it on live TV.
Why not just one of each?
That's what I mean. So
here's,
we're picking for the 13th pick. Boom, who is it? Oh, it's the Toronto Raptors or whoever it was. Until you get all those balls out. That's the only logical way to do it so everybody can see this because it's kind of confusing. My wife was sitting there watching it with me. She's like, well, that's just dumb. I don't understand. Well, how'd you know they're in the top three when all of a sudden the Lakers got above number 11 or 10 and they're like, oh, they're in the top four now. And she's like, how do you know that? You know, so it's kind of like, is this rigged?
It's math.
It is.
It is.
That's what I try to tell
her. They used to have the ping pong machine, and obviously the top three or four picks used to have more balls in there than everybody else, but they would burn and boom, they'd pull the ball out right there. And put it on live TV, then that way, guess what? Then people can't say, oh, it's fixed. Blah, blah. If the Lakers would have got the number one pick, I could buy it.
Could you imagine if
it went, I could buy it.
Could you imagine if it went New York 1, LA 2?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Could you imagine the firestorm that they would have had?
I mean, I'm just like I said, I'm the only thing that I even gave two craps about with the NBA was Kawhi's awesome buzzer beater that hit the rim four times.
It's still bouncing on the
rim. Four times. I was like, oh, it's going to bounce out. Oh, no, it's not again. Oh, it's going to... Yeah, and then it fell back in.
What's crazy is the reason why it even bounced like that to begin with is because you saw who was guarding him on that shot. It was Embiid. He had to shoot it. He had to rainbow that thing to even get it up over Embiid.
Right.
Did you see Embiid, though? He didn't get his height on his jump because he had jumped before Kawhi shot thinking he was going to shoot it. And then he had to reload and jump again and didn't get very high. And that's why Kawhi was able to get it up over top of him, which was crazy. It was like 18 foot in the air and it came down and, boom, and went straight back up.
And Embiid crying.
I feel bad for the dude. I mean, it's tough to lose a game like that.
Man.
By the way, first time, I'm sure you probably heard this a few days ago, though, but first time ever, game 7, buzzer beater, series over, done.
It's awesome. Yeah. Real quick, let's move on to the new head coaches that were announced over the last few days. Lakers, we just mentioned Frank Vogel. You guys surprised about that? Was it more just to let kid get a little experience on a bench in L.A. and then in 2 years he's the coach?
It's somewhat of a decent name. Vogel did a good job when they had Paul George, George Hill there in Indiana. Sure. They gave Miami a run for their money a couple years when they had LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, all them folks. He's not a bad coach.
No.
Jason Kidd as your assistant gives you a little leeway. So
assistant.
So Vogel starts, you know, by the All-Star break, if they're struggling,
he's gone.
Jason Kidd, take over.
If they hire Frank Vogel and they say this is your team, run it, different story.
Apparently, is there a connection between Vogel and J. Kidd? Was Vogel a part of that Dallas staff later in Jason Kidd's career?
I don't remember. There's some kind of connection with him and LeBron, though, as in, like, I think he was some kind of assistant on the Miami staff when he was down there.
Kidd was?
No, Vogel.
Oh, okay.
Him and Vogel go back a little ways, but Jason Kidd's been mentoring Lonzo Ball over the last couple of years on, like, his court play and stuff like that. So
Jason Kidd had a terrible shot.
Yeah, Lonzo and who's
men
the worst?
Are away.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But I think it's more of playmaking on the court with the point guard
position. Jason Kidd he wasn't the scorer.
No,
you know,
no.
But he dropped 10 or more assists and grabbed 10 rebounds and
scored 8 points. He was the Russell Westbrook of the 90s.
Because, minus 30 points.
I mean, he was getting 10, 10. He was getting 10, 10, and 15, but he wasn't getting 30, but 15, and 12.
If you think Lonzo Ball is going to be that guy,
I'm saying as a point guard, he could be a point guard and distribute the ball.
Lonzo Ball could be. Jason Kidd like career.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
He's not going to average you 20 points a game.
No,
he's probably
going
to get you 10 to 12.
That's not Lonzo.
But anyway, the Phoenix Suns, they hire Monty Williams, good hire for them after they give Igor Kozalaz, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, they give him 1 year and ship him back to wherever he came from. And then you have the big hire on, Monday with the Cleveland Cavaliers. John Beilein hired away from the University of Michigan. And, you know, he's a 70-year-old first time
66 years old.
Essentially 70-year-old first year head coach in the NBA. Think about this, guys. The last three head coaches for the Cavs, David Blatt, Ty Lue, and now John Beilein, all hired without NBA head coaching experience.
Dumb.
Ty Lue or Blatt lasted 40 games?
Yeah.
Something like that.
No, a full season plus a half of the next.
So
took the Cavs to the finals.
A season and a half.
Oh, that's right.
Then Ty Lue comes in, wins a championship, and then of course they bring in this guy. You know, I don't know if you count the guy that took over was a Larry Drew.
Drew,
I mean, you can't count because he was an interim head coach. But we have a visitor in the window here checking on us. But you know, I think that head scratcher to me. I'm okay with it college-wise because it gets Beilein out of the Big Ten and kind of opens it up now for the Buckeyes. And, you know, he's dominated the Big Ten over the last 12 years. You know, 4 Big Ten titles, 2 trips to the Final Four, has done a great job at Michigan.
2 trips to national championship.
Yeah, a great job at the University of Michigan after he comes from West Virginia. He left West Virginia to come to Michigan, and that's when West Virginia got Bobby Huggins. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see – him get his chance in the NBA. This will be his swan song no matter how long he lasts. I don't think he'll go back coaching. Like you said, Eric, 66, 67 years old. Probably his swan song in head coaching.
He's never been an assistant as John Beilein. He's been basically at every level of basketball, high school, junior college, D2, D3, D1. It's kind of the final step. I mean, you want to see what you got, right?
Sure.
It's your shot. It's your opportunity. It's kind of, if you look at names in the past who Dan Gilbert's tried to hire, Tom Izzo, John Calipari, it's kind of along those same lines. It wasn't a shock he was going to go after a big name college coach. I think all these Spurs assistants, these guys were lining up to be an assistant to Beilein. They weren't hiring any of those guys. This is Dan Gilbert, though, for you, paying buku bucks, and he would have done the same for Izzo. He offered the same to Cal. He offered Calipari like $70 million and president of the operations and stuff.
Yeah, but you bring in Calipari, you can still get another.
That was
10,
back when he was trying to still get LeBron. That was 4 years ago. That was like 5 years.
I know. I'm just saying. You get 15 years out of him, right? This guy. Hey, let's build around John Beilein for the next 15. No,
well,
wait,
first of all, you don't build around head coaches in the NBA.
You build around
the
next eight.
Hey, who's the head coach of the Toronto Raptors? Thank you very much. So you don't build around head coaches.
Build around
it's
players.
About players.
Yeah.
The reason why the Raptors are where they are is because Kawhi and LeBron left the East.
You know why Spoelstra's
I mean?
Still
if
with
that's
heat?
The case, then why didn't they just leave Larry Drew in place? If it's not coaching, then let's just leave Larry
because
Drew
there.
It's
may not, help it's, sell a little more tickets.
You see what I'm getting?
I don't know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Sell tickets
you know
to
why,
a
coach? You know why Spoelstra's still with the Heat? Spoelstra's still with the Heat because he won, what, two titles?
Well, listen, last year, the Magic and the Pistons wanted him. He said no, went back to Michigan. So there's been interest.
Sure.
There's been interest.
It'll be interesting.
I'm not saying I like
see.
The hire. You know what I'm saying? I'm impartial about it at this point. But I know what he does do a great job of if he's had that much success what's going on back here?
We're
is there a bee under there?
Yeah.
No, look out on
there's
the tower.
A bee there.
You guys are nuts. All right. Well, if we can't stay on top. Hey, Odell Beckham Jr. was back at, finally, it's like 60 days since the trade. He is back in Cleveland. Everybody shocked that he was there, finally OTAs?
I'm not. I think he wants to win. I think, you know, what they did in the draft, I think it gives him hope. You know, a lot of the OTAs around the league have started up.
Organized team activities.
Yep, and I think it's good that he's there this early, getting on the same page with his other receivers, as quarterback. Hopefully he wakes up feeling dangerous this fall and can win some games. So that's what he wants to do. That's why he wanted to come to Cleveland, and, you know, he's here to do that. So
these
I think
are,
he's leading by example, showing up for these OTAs.
These are voluntary. Over the next 3 weeks, so he doesn't have to be there. Baker doesn't have to be there. Jarvis Juice Landry doesn't have to be there. We don't know if he plans to take part in all 10 practices. Last year, 7 of 10 when the Giants had their OTAs. So it's nice he's in the building there for the first day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a positive step forward, better than any other receiver they had the last couple of years. You know, couldn't stay off the whatever he was on, and now he's with
Jarvis Landry.
No, I'm talking about Josh Gordon.
Well, I know,
but now they got a stellar receiving core. They've got an offensive line that they got to get working. They're going to be a team that this offseason is probably one of the most important in franchise history, building off of that momentum they had at the end of the season through this draft, now getting Odell Beckham Jr., you know, trying to get this momentum going and keep it rolling into the season. Avoid injuries, I'll tell you that. I mean, if you can avoid injuries with this team, I think they can be something special. Not sure if a Super Bowl is on their horizon this year, but I think definitely the playoffs are there. But I don't know about a Super Bowl. We'll just have to see how the rest of the league plays out, you know?
I agree with that. I think just calm the expectations a little bit, because I think, you know what I mean, they're one injury away from being a 6-10 ball club again.
What happens if Baker goes down? Who's behind him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have somebody that goes down. That's
the dude from Michigan, Stanton.
Yeah, Drew Stanton. But Drew Stanton's not going to, you know, and I want to see, again, what Baker does this year. We all know that teams can scheme and everything else. You come in, you have a really good, you know, first season or first, you know, a matchup between somebody, and then coaches go to work. That's their job.
Sure.
How are we going to stop this guy? How are we going to contain him? How are we going to confuse him? So, to me, I agree. The hype on Baker Mayfield, much more than I thought it would be. But let's let him sustain this in year two, and let's get through the first 5, 6, 7 games and see where the Browns are at. Then we can say, okay, this guy is going to be an NFL starting quarterback. He's going to be this franchise quarterback. Let's see where it's at. Because if he turns up 2-5 and throws, you know, 10 interceptions in those seven games or whatever, then maybe you might start thinking that maybe the hype was the rookie year and he's having that sophomore slump.
Sure.
I say the same thing about Mahomes. Let's wait and see what he does before we get crazy and have
see
all
how
these expectations.
See how he comes off that MVP year. He's not going to throw for 50 touchdowns again this year.
No, he's not.
The league's going to adjust just like they do with everybody.
He might throw for 42. Maybe.
I'm going to throw 50. But hey.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, let's see how teams adjust. And
well, that's why I think it was huge for the Browns. Yeah. Freddie Kitchens is going to be, he said he's going to call the plays, right? He's going to be the head coach.
We'll see how long that lasts because it's always tough to do in the NFL.
Offensive coordinator, and everybody gave Hugh Jackson a hard time because he did the same thing. Sure. But I think having a guy like Todd Monken in there, which will be, he's the offensive coordinator, but Freddie said he's calling the plays, just to have a few wrinkles in there to mix things up. Yeah, there's tapes on Baker now, especially, I mean, within the division, right? Those games will be a little tougher. Mm-hmm. I think having wrinkles in there, it's probably a one and done year with if all things go the way they're supposed to go, Browns win 10-11 games. It's only 1 year Monken will be with the Browns, and he's getting his own head coach.
Oh yeah, and I think the hype around, there hasn't been this much hype around the Browns
since the year they came back.
I was gonna say since the year they came back, that's probably the truth. And you know, it's maybe the year that they went into the playoffs. What was that? Oh, five, not so much.
It was 2001. But the 2002 playoffs, but it was
it
the 2001
when Kelly Holt? No, because Ben played. No, it wasn't then.
Do we want to do this again with my NFL history lessons?
Listen, Ben Roethlisberger
came into the league in 2004.
Right, and I'm almost positive that he beat Kelly Holcomb in the playoffs.
I was Tommy Maddox, bro.
Was it Tommy?
Yeah, it was.
Hmm.
And the week before, I was at that game where the Browns got in, beat the Falcons. Tim Couch broke his leg. And then Kelly Holcomb came. The Browns were, what were they up, 24-3 or 24-10 in that playoff game?
Yeah.
At Heinz Field, and then you guys came back
and beat us. Well, and I thought it was later in the year. No. Or, I mean, I thought it was later in years.
That year, the Raiders played the Bucks in the Super Bowl. That was that Super Bowl. Okay. So it was 2002 playoffs, but the 2001
season.
Okay. Well, regardless, but you're right. I don't think there has been that much hype since.
Yeah,
everybody thought, okay, Kelly Holcomb comes in, and we're going to have a good year next year, and then it just didn't happen, but...
More excitement, right? Yeah, the hype's
look
there.
Look how many primetime games, you know what I mean? You guys on primetime. I mean, it's there. I think the chances of them making the playoffs are very good. I think that, you know, they could contend for the North. I don't know about a Super Bowl. I guess we'll wait and see. I mean, to be honest with you, you got to wait and see. I would have known. You'd have told me last year that Kansas City can compete for a Super Bowl title, I'd have said, no way. But look what almost happened.
And I will say this, and not to upset Browns fans and not to toot your team's horn, but until they get beat, the AFC North goes through Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you got to beat them,
guys. You got to beat them.
You can't tie them.
Yeah, if you don't beat them, then guess what? You're not going to win the North. So if you don't beat the Steelers, you know, unfortunately, you're not going to win the division. And I believe that, and I think the time's coming for that. I don't know if it'll happen this year, next year, whenever, but it's very close. And you can see it on the horizon that it's coming because you've got, you know, a new receiving core with Pittsburgh. You got a quarterback that's getting older. You've got a new running back that has to get used to things. No more
Coach on
a
hot
Bell.
Seat.
Coach on the hot
you can't
seat.
Say
a,
that.
A little turmoil, you know, in the locker room last year. See how they respond and see how they turn this offseason around.
But you sit there and say, because of Le'Veon Bell gone. Did you forget that James Conner was a starting running back in Pittsburgh last year?
But hold on. There was so much rumor like, oh, Le'Veon's coming back this week. Le'Veon's coming back. You know, James Conner was always looking over his shoulder last year. Hey, when's Le'Veon coming back? I don't, because later in the season, he played that way. Because when it came to week eight, whenever that bye week was, and oh, Le'Veon's going to report. Here he comes. He's coming back. And then
look at the carries.
Well,
they didn't give him the ball. That's why his numbers were down.
But
they decided to drop back in a five wide spread and let Ben try to throw all over the field. That's why Ben threw for the most yards in the NFL.
Let's see how Connor responds to being the feature back with nobody coming up behind him, not looking over his shoulder, and see what happens.
I think there's a deeper issue which the Steelers addressed in the draft as to, you know, why Ben has to throw 50 times a game.
They have to draw.
And they have to score 40 points.
They drafted a safety.
They have no defense. Yeah, you know. Right. So I think it was a bigger issue in this.
Well, and they also drafted a running back. Pretty good running back.
They got it.
I don't think
Steelers had a great. As much as I hate them, they nailed the draft, man, which they always do, and that's going to keep them. That's why I think they're probably still favorites in the North.
I think every running back in a league needs to look over their shoulder and say, "Hey, who's behind me? Hey, if I have a bad couple weeks, this guy's going to be right up my hiney, vowing for playing time." You need that pressure. That is what sports is about. Your position should never be guaranteed. You should always have to earn that spot.
There's always that diamond in the rough. You know,
right?
You know,
I agree.
But I'm saying, give James Conner a year. Saying no, he goes into season knowing that he has that spot, and there might be a guy behind him. But you know what? They're going to give Conner now every chance they can, and if he doesn't perform, then hey. Next guy up.
No, I'm with
you. So let's see how he does. You know, he was a great relief for Le'Veon Bell and getting that relief when you know, Le'Veon needed a breather or whatever. Now Le'Veon didn't play last year. Well, Conner, you know, got banged up a little bit last year, I think, in a couple games. But you know what? And then he now has that job, and he knows that Le'Veon Bell's not behind him. The next coming of Le'Veon Bell's not behind him. He's got the job. Now he's got to perform. Let's see how it happens. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. And I laugh at the people that say, Ben Roethlisberger, he's getting older.
He is.
He threw for the most yards in the NFL last year.
Well, he's still getting old.
Let's just press on.
But he still owns the Browns, basically.
He's not going to throw for 2,000 yards next year. I mean, just get over it.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But you have Juju Smith-Schuster, and that's it.
No, not true.
Not true.
By the way, good news for Steelers fans and their new linebacker, right, Devin Bush, when he put cleats on. Is he a safety?
He's a safety.
I thought he was a linebacker. Whatever. Oh, you're right.
He puts his cleats on, it makes him a linebacker.
He's over 6 foot, so yeah, right. That's good for
over 5'10".
Right. Yeah, right. There you go.
But go on.
No, that's it. That's all I had.
Okay.
He's over 6 foot with cleats on. So.
But anyway, guys, again, don't forget, tonight we'll have a special interview live on our Facebook pages, on our social media, with a certain...
Person in the area.
I can't say what it is, but
he's going to give it away before it ever happens.
I'm not going to do it now, but it will be posted up. It'll be official this evening, but it has to do with some school's mascot with the last name of Tiger. So,
oh, good Lord. Hey, real quick, I want to ask you guys, who are the Cleveland Indians? Are they just a 500 team, or do we even know who they are yet with all the
I don't think we know because there's too many injuries.
It's going to stink this year, man. All-star game on our own building. No rep. I mean, yeah, Trevor Bauer, things go well, he may be the starting pitcher, but probably
not. They'll have Frankie in there.
Frankie and Jose as sympathy votes. It's just not going the way we wanted. This whole plan they had is backfiring right in their face.
They're four games back. They still have tons of time. I think we talked last week, Chris, about, you know, you get to the all-star break. Okay, where are they at? Are they in the lead by half a game or game? Or you get to the end of July.
You can keep it 4-5, yeah.
If you're 6 to 8 to 10 games back at the trade deadline, guess what? Then that's when you blow it up and say, all right, see ya.
But it's hard to blow it up. And when you trade things, what do you trade? You trade assets. And
sure.
That's what we have, pitchers.
They have assets.
These guys are hurt now.
I know, but they'll be back by the trade deadline of July 31st.
Can you tell I'm upset?
I know,
about
I can
the Indians.
Tell. I know, but so. their window's closed. Unfortunately, it's time to
closed.
Start.
Closed? Hey, yeah, we've. I've
you go an hour and a half the other way, and there's a pretty fun team to watch over there.
Detroit.
Yeah,
the other way. There's a couple different east or west,
or
easterly.
Go east. Go an hour and a half east.
The Erie
from here.
Who's the dude who was dominant on the mound for you guys? Musgrove. Is that who it was last night?
They got him from Houston.
Joey Musgrove.
Yeah, Big Joe.
Yeah.
Josh Bell has been. Dynamite
finally showing up in his career.
Polanco coming back from injury.
You know,
Bell
though, his bat that he's swinging right now was made from a tree that got hit by lightning. That's why he. All right, I'm done.
Let's call him the Natural.
On that note,
anyway, baseball season. Of course, the Pirates are 20-18. The Reds are 18-22. So we'll see what happens.
21-18. Sell them short. Three games above.
I forgot about last night.
500 mark.
Yes, it was a late game. I forgot about it.
out there in the desert.
It'll be fun.
All I want to do.
What?
Keep winning series. That's all.
No,
I
it's
do.
Series.
Whatever.
Winning series is.
Series
is. Question is.
Hey, listen, okay, we want to thank, of course, Dak and the Hartzlers.
Absolutely. Dak Vitamins and Minerals, feeddak.com, Hartzlers Quality Housing in Dover, Hartzlers.com. He's Eric McElroy. He's Chris Kao. I'm Joe Geckler. We'll talk to you next week for another edition of our podcast right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Facebook Live, WTUZ.com, in the podcast section. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We'll talk to you next week. See you guys.
Real quick, Nick McWilliams had the correct answer to the trivia question.
He did.
Toronto Raptors head coach. Anybody still want to take a guess?
Is his name like House or something?
You probably looked it up.
Whoa, calling him out.
Did you look it up?
No.
Nick McWilliams.
You just said the first name of Toronto Raptors head coach.
Nick.
Yes.
Nick House, isn't it?
Nurse.
I was close. I knew I was close. But anyway, Big Z Sports, we'll talk to you next week with other high school and, of course, other NBA stuff as well. We'll see you next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
This podcast has been a presentation of Big Z Sports, brought to you by DAC Vitamins and Minerals and Hartzler's Quality Housing.